we will see if we can make things happen with you. Now, let's pray. Let's pray for North Dakota and everybody, Montana, Wyoming, South Dakota. Father, in Jesus' name, we speak right now over the people who are not ready for this storm. And they weren't prepared in any way. In the mighty name of Jesus, we speak life and life more abundantly. And we declare the snowplows work good and the people have enough sense to just stay home. And the snow melts and goes into the ground and fills up all the reservoirs and the lakes. And the snow melt doesn't wash away all the good hay fields and everything else they got. We thank you for the moisture in North Dakota because we've been needing it. Thank you for that answered prayer. And we bless people with the point of wisdom, their heart and mind and understanding. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we pray. And Father, bless every person tonight that wants to be a part of this program. Help them here. We're going to study what Jesus did while he was in the grave. And most people don't talk about that, but we're talking about it tonight. And so we bless everybody that's with us and help everyone that wants to get here to get here.
Amen.
We declare that every technology we have functions properly on our end, on your end. And all the technology in between us functions properly. We declare that all of our brothers and sisters, past, present, and future, have the ability to be connected. And together, we get a great mission accomplished for you, rebuilding the walls of righteousness, establishing people in the faith in their hearts, and walking with God every day in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, help me to not only know your voice for my own life, help me to be able to teach everybody, help us, not me, help all of us to be able to teach everybody we meet.
Amen.
To quit worrying about being a Christian and start being a believer and walk with God and learn to hear his voice in their life. I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen, amen.
In Jesus' mighty name, amen, and amen, and amen, and amen. Now, anybody know how many minutes we've been going yet?
I don't.
There's no way to, 13 minutes. If you would, can you write that number down? 13. Anyways, there you go. Welcome aboard. We're glad to have you with us. Blog Talk Radio, our friends from around the world, 32 nations streaming with us now. And we're glad to have you be a part of this tonight. I want us to start with our opening prayer like we always do. And then I'm going to go right to the word again tonight because I'm going to read a lot of word tonight. There's a lot of preachers that's preached a lot of messages, but not very many of us have just read the Bible and done it from the pulpit so that people can truly get the understanding of what God is saying in his word, giving you one verse and expecting you to be able to see the whole picture isn't as effective as actually, as Sister Phyllis would say, read the whole chapter. And I know some of you may not have that much time in your day to read whole chapters, 8 or 10 of them a day, but that's why I'm continually doing it. Because I want to make it available so you can say, wait, Pastor read those chapters on that day, mark it on my calendar, save it in my notepad and go back to it, and it'll be a blessing to you in Jesus' mighty name. Are you ready? Here we go.
We are ready.
Let's go to our theme of the year. And then the verse of the month, our opening prayer, and then we'll get ourselves started tonight. The theme of the year, 2022, I am rewarding you. I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me. You will see many answers that come to you quickly. I am the God of answers and the God of the immediately. Revelation 22:12-14. And behold, I am coming quickly. My reward to give to everyone according to his word. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the end. I am the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. I love it. The April verse of the month. There is great reward in walking in the word. Psalm 19:11. Moreover, by the word, your servant is warned. And in keeping the word, there is great reward. And now, our reference verses for this month. The word of the Lord changes our whole life.
Amen.
The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yes, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. And now, our opening prayer. Pray this with us. Father, we pray this prayer and make this declaration as your children, the heirs of God, as the body of Christ filled with the fullness of God, as ministers of reconciliation, as ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven, by the power of the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, we, the community of faith, declare, thank you, Father, that you have filled us with your Holy Spirit. Flow, Holy Spirit, flow with your presence and power in our lives. We receive your guidance through this time of ministry, that believers' lives will be changed forever, that glory and honor may be brought to your kingdom through our influence today. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Say it with me again. Flow, Holy Spirit, flow.
Flow, Holy Spirit. Spirit flow. Amen.
Flow, 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 flow in our lives every day. That's, I got to get started, so let's jump to verse 4. There is one body and one spirit, just as we were called in one hope of our calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in us all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. And Jesus himself gave some to be apostles, some pastors, some prophets.
All right. Some evangelists.
Some pastors and teachers
for the equipping of the saints,
for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we may be filled with all the fullness of God. Say it with me. I want to be filled with all the fullness of God. 14 through 16. So that we will no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working, by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. I bring my gift and my supply to this body of believers today. Use me to be a blessing to others in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. And last but not least, the Patriot Prayer of Dedication. We speak this over every patriot. We declare that not only will the patriots stand up and be united across this nation and around the world, but we will also declare this is a godly nation, and may righteousness be established again. Father, help us, the living,
to be dedicated to
the unfinished work which these fought for and so nobly advanced. Help us be dedicated to the great task that remains before us, that from these honored fallen, we take increased devotion to the cause for which they gave that last full measure of devotion. We highly resolve that these shall not have fallen in vain. We declare this nation under God is experiencing a new birth of freedom right here, right now, today. We declare this government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from this earth. Long will our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us, Lord, by thy great might, great God, our King. Forgive us of our sins,
Lord,
and heal our land. We seek your face. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
And amen. And amen. And amen. Now, if that's new to you, what we just did was we preach prayed. And Sister Phyllis has given us a special title called Preaching.
Yeah, thank you.
Dusty Verbecki, Sam, when you get a chance, can you pray for Amanda's Uncle Bob who passed yesterday? I'm not sure if he was a believer, but hopefully he's welcomed home. I feel like I should have prayed with him the day I met him before he passed yesterday. I feel like I should have said more. Well, this is what we say. Best of our ability. We don't know how long people hang in between heaven and earth.
Right.
But we know that many decisions are made in that period of time. And we say, if he's committed any sins, they'll be forgiven him. And he'll receive an entrance into life.
Amen.
Let's pray now today. Father, we pray right now for Bob and Amanda. We pray for Dusty and Amanda and for all of Bob's families and friends, wherever they may be, every person. Lord, we don't know them all. We don't know how to pray for them all, but you do know them all. You've never missed one second of any of their lives. And so, as Brother Dusty came here and shared this with us, you said, this is a healing room. We know we can't make anyone's decision for them. However, we can do our part. And we pray that Bob has made that decision for you. And of course, Father, we know that you are the most just and loving and caring Father there has ever been. And not only did Jesus come because you sent him, but you're not looking for a reason to send someone to hell. You're looking for a reason to let them into heaven. You are more willing to give us the Holy Spirit in our life than we even are to ask. And we thank you for it. And now, Lord, may whatever, in the mighty name of Jesus, may be filled with your presence and the reassurance of where Bob is.
Amen.
We pray it, Lord.
Yeah.
And may they see it in what's been said about him as they remember his life lived and his service rendered. Bless Dusty, bless Amanda, bless their families. We speak blessing now in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Father, I pray for my sister Mary's family tonight. What a deal. What a deal. I speak life to Robert and Diana. To Eric. I speak life to Robbie. I speak life to every one of these family members, Jesus. You foul cancer, I curse you in Jesus' mighty name. And I declare that he will live and not die. I'm asking you that, Father. I'm praying. And like we just prayed for Bob, and if he's committed any sins, Lord, any of them, may they be forgiven.
Yes. Yeah.
And may the light of your glorious gospel of the truth come through to them. May it get through all the negative, all the churchianity, whatever might be there. And may their names be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We stand in the gap. We make up the hedge. We declare right now that there will be life and life more abundantly. Bless this baby who's just entered the earth. I don't even know her name. She was in a perfect womb, perfect environment. And now we say she lives a perfect life. In understanding of you, Jesus.
Yes.
Reveal yourself to this family in an infallible proof that no human could ever give them, Jesus.
Amen.
May they see something in you today that radically transforms them into a new being now. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray.
Amen.
Amen. And amen. And amen. And amen. Anybody else we're supposed to be praying for? Well, I got to get busy because I got a bunch of people. Julie Rouse, Kai, Phyllis K. Raymond, Dusty Berbecki, my friend over there in Tulsa, what's his name? Richard. Welcome, Richard.
Oh, yeah, Richard Winslow.
Richard Winslow, good to have you with us. Jackie Weaver, Haley Dominic, Angela Dominic, Linda Vincent, Teresa Weaver, Captain Bryce Evans.
Bryce is here.
God bless you, sir. Thank you for your service to this great nation. We honor you. Edgar Gainey, Larry Gainey, Dan Ovila, and John Dominique, Dusty, and Amanda, all of our friends. I saw Sister Maxine was on earlier today. Bless you, Maxine. Bless your family. Bless Mary Ann McDonald, James Beyer, Gary West. These are all our folks that tune in with us. James Denny Jr., Brother Ken Brumbaugh.
Mary and Dan and Sunday and Rebecca.
Mary, Dan, Gold. Sunday, Rebecca, Sister Gwen, Dan and Gwen. Good to have you guys with us tonight.
Yes.
We're going to have a good time. We're going to read a lot of Bible. So get ready to read, and it'll be a blessing to you. Thanks for your wisdom and guidance. He went in for back pain and sent some and was sent home on hospice. Wow.
Wow. Only six.
Wow. Well, and you know, Dusty, everybody write this verse down. Who took my Bible? Ripley, did you take my Bible? Oh, I got it right here. John, St. John, everybody write this verse down. This is a great verse for everybody to use. John chapter 20. I always get this reference perfect every time I say it.
Amen. Speak your faith.
Amen. John 20, 22, and 23. This is always good for anybody that's on the edge. That's, you know,
Thank you, Rebecca.
Bob, wow. Bob and Rob. Well, my sister's brother-in-law is on the edge with cancer and a brain bleed. We always pray this prayer. Verse 22, John 20, 22. When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." That was Jesus speaking to the disciples. Now, verse 23. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. And you can't just walk down the street and forgive the sin of every person that we drive by. However, when somebody's in the last moments of their life, especially when it's like with Bob here and the other man, Rob, these two, and you're standing there. You have every right to use this verse and just say, "Can I please pray for you?" And if they say yes, then pray that prayer. You don't have to remember it. Just remember the reference. Now, I'll give you the story of it. When I first learned to use it, because, you know, that's how all of us learn. We're faced with a situation. We do good or maybe not. And then we say, wait a minute, I got to figure out what to do here. because I want to make sure I'm doing right. Now watch this. I was called to the hospital to pray for a man in the middle of the night in West Branch. And I walk into intensive care. It was way back when it was the old hospital. I walk into the intensive care and I walk in the room and the man is very labored breathing. Just, I asked the nurse at the counter, I'm like, how long has he got? She said, maybe 2 minutes. And I'm like, next time, don't wait so long to get me here, you know? Anyways, that's a whole different story. Catholic priest said, I can't come because it's not 9 to 5. I'll give you 9 to 5, right? Of these fives. Get out of your bed and go help people. Here we go. So I walked in the room and his daughter's laying on his chest. The man had served in the police department somewhere downstate, Warren or somewhere, all of his life. And it was a public servant, but his daughter was like, I want my daddy to go to heaven. And she's laying on his chest crying. And I'm like, oh, Jesus, you know, you're just thrown right into the situation. And I'm like, well, let's pray. And I said, my prayer, I pray all the time, Father, I don't know this man. I couldn't even tell you his name. I don't know this man. But you've never missed 1 second of his life. And now, as your son, an ambassador of heaven, a minister of reconciliation, according to the holy word of God, whosoever sins I remit, they'll be remitted. Guys, I didn't even know if this worked. This verse is what came to me as I started to get ready to pray. And so I said the prayer, and as soon as I said, your sins are remitted, Father, give him an entrance into the heavenly kingdom of light. His labor, his breathing stopped. The machine flatlined and peace filled the room. His daughter jumped up. He made it. My dad went to heaven. Now she's hugging me. Why? Because she wanted to see her dad in heaven. Yeah. It's the last seconds of his life. Anytime any of your friends are in a situation where they're facing life and death, anytime, you need to pray these verses of scripture over them. Your children, you know, somebody with cancer, pray these verses of scripture. You're not God and neither am I. But Jesus is the one that said that. Whosoever sins you remit, they will be remitted. And so thank God that you and I get that opportunity to do that.
Amen.
And you know what? I have used it many, many, many times. Every time I'm driving down the road and I see an accident, I'm gonna very specifically say, if there's anyone there who's on the edge of going to heaven, I may not be welcome to stop and pray over them and anoint them with oil, because in the day we live, you know, people are all whacked out. But I will always pray this prayer. Whoever sins, we remit. Jesus, you don't want them to go to hell. I don't want them to miss eternity with our Father. And I stand in the gap. I make up the hedge. I am the one standing between heaven and hell and saying, no, they get to go to heaven.
Amen.
And so, you know, if you start praying it and the Holy Spirit's like, no, don't, and the Holy Spirit says don't, well, that might be one thing. But I don't think you're going to ever hear the Holy Spirit say that, you know. I can tell I had a Missouri person with me. Wow, but what if you ain't supposed to be doing that? Here's the revelation. He's not willing that any should perish.
Yes. Amen.
But that all should come to repentance. God so loved this world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes will not perish, but have everlasting life. God, verse 17, God did not send his son into this world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved in Jesus' mighty name. Isn't it something that tonight we're going to talk about what Jesus did?
Yeah, isn't that
while he's in the grave, and the very first thing we do is we talk to you about John chapter 20, verses 22 and 23. Whosoever sins you remit, those sins will be remitted. Welcome, YouTube. Glad to have you here with us tonight. You know, for everybody that's joining us on any of the platforms, if the one platform gives you trouble, go to the other one. If that one gives you trouble, go to the next one. We've got Blog Talk Radio. We've got YouTube Live. And we've got Facebook Live. And they're all running right now. And I'm working real hard to be able to keep those links up on the website, but it's not always working as effectively as what I wanted it to. But that's all right. We will perfect it, because that's how we function around here. But watch this. Just in case you're having trouble on Facebook, there's the three links that will get you hooked. Let's see if I can get them all in here. Yeah, I did, but that ain't going to work. Well, there you go. That didn't work either. So anyways, welcome. Dave Villiard's with us. Brother Dave's the one that's been funneling all the pictures to me from balmy North Dakota. Brother Dave, you're still surviving. You're inside the apartment, nice and warm.
Our birds are probably thinking, where are our
people? The birds are like,
food?
The sparrows are like, if we ever needed food, it's now. All of our food is 2 feet under the snow.
And where are you now?
We're down here where it's nice. All y'all should have come and gone with us tonight. All right, here we go. Let's go. We're going to read some word tonight, because we're going to talk about what Jesus did when he was in the grave. Because we, for three nights now, we've studied that Jesus was going to spend 3 days and three nights in the center of the earth. Now, those are the words he used. All right. So those aren't my words. Those are his words. So that must mean that hell is in the center of the earth. All right. Now, you might say, well, isn't that something? That Jesus went to hell? Yep. Jesus went to hell. Why? Because he bore the sins of this world. And he did it all very, very, very specifically for you and I. One of the things that we've got to learn is it most definitely is about the resurrection. But more than the resurrection is everything that is connected with this that makes the resurrection powerful. Amen. And that's what we want, is power. Y'all have a snowdrift climbing your sliding glass door.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, we saw it was climbing the garage door, too.
Wait, we're on the second floor. It drifted all the way from the ground up there, or just on the porch? We might get too much snow. Maybe, well, of course, we got a good set of 4x4s that won't make it fall in. Well, when it starts melting, there's going to be water everywhere now, isn't there?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. The lakes will all melt. 2 feet of snow, that's good.
Yeah.
That's really good.
Oh, just on the porch.
Just on the porch, all right. Well, of all the blizzards you've never been able to been in, this is one and you're in it. Hallelujah. And really, Dave, we're kind of glad we're not in it.
I don't know. I'm kind of missing.
I like a good blizzard, but, yeah. Oh, Jesus, this is a serious blizzard. And thank God I'm in Jackson, Michigan, enjoying Sister Francetta's house. Bless you, Sister Francetta, for opening your home up to us, yeah. Allowing us to be here. Use your internet, your table, your food, your coffee, your bed, your shower. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. And may blessing come upon you and your life and family in Jesus' mighty name. Now, let's go to I want to go to, I got so many verses to go to. Not sure which one. Help me, Holy Spirit. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1 first. Ephesians chapter 1.
You gonna start YouTube?
YouTube is going, yes. Ephesians chapter 1, and, you know, you got to run down there about verse 14 just to get to the end of the sentence. But this is going to be talking about Jesus. Now, you're going to notice that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all tell us what the humans were doing while Jesus was in the grave. It doesn't tell us what Jesus was doing, because what Jesus was doing while he was in the grave is as important as what Jesus was doing before the grave. And so tonight we're going to look at the verses and the thought process. He's the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. The Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Here we go. Ephesians chapter 1. Let's hold our Bibles up. We'll make our confession tonight and then jump into the Word of God. This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I believe what God's Word says.
I believe what God's Word says.
I am what Jesus says I am.
I am what Jesus says I am.
Because he is the great I am.
Because he is the great I am.
The Holy Spirit of God.
The Holy Spirit of God.
My resident teacher.
My resident teacher.
Is making his word come alive.
Is making his word come alive.
In my life tonight.
In my life tonight.
I receive the word of God.
I receive the word of God.
And plant him as a seed.
And plant him as a seed.
In the good soil of my heart.
In the good soil of my heart.
Producing a hundredfold return.
Producing a hundred
in my spirit, soul, and body.
In my spirit, soul, and body.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen and amen. Ephesians chapter 1. Now, I know this isn't one of the disciples writing about Jesus' life. This is the Apostle Paul writing about what Jesus did for you and me in redemption's plan. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is all about his ministry. Acts through Revelation is the effects of that ministry and how it's transformed the world. This Bible you have in your hand is the oldest book that's still around. It's the biggest selling book that's ever been sold. Mm-hmm. Nobody will ever catch it. And it is the only book that spans 7,000 years of history with documentable prophecies, yeah, at the very beginning, third page, all the way to the end. No human on this earth could write a book like that.
Yeah.
None of these men that are humans did it by their humanness. They did it by the Spirit of Almighty God. Now, here we go. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 1 through 14. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. Now, you and I are not in Ephesus, but we are the faithful in Christ Jesus. Somebody just say it. I am the faithful.
I am the faithful.
Well, you are. That's the interesting thing about you. You are the faithful.
Thank you.
I like faithful people.
Me too.
The Bible, the book of Proverbs, says a faithful man who can find. Well, I not only find faithful men, but I find faithful women too. Because we got a whole bunch of them right here in our group.
Yes, we do.
And I thank you all for being faithful. Amen, Rebecca. I am faithful. Verse 2, grace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, thank you, guys. Look at Brother on the porch. Brother Dave said, I've never seen a real blizzard. And Brother Dusty said, that Bible looks well-worn, like a well-worn catcher's mitt. That's it. I'm going to tell you right now.
And that
brother,
is an amazing thing, Doug, because that Bible is, what, only 2 years?
This
maybe?
Bible is only 2 years old,
yeah.
But in the last 2 years, it's got a lot of mileage on it.
It has. The other one was
really worn. It's on the dash of in the car every time I go anywhere. It's under my arm. I don't ever go anywhere without it because I want the word close, and I want to be able to use my word to help anybody come to understanding, to know who Jesus is.
Yeah.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father, Lord Jesus Christ. Verse number 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. How many spiritual blessings? Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Verse 4. And this is our main verse tonight. Just as he chose, he, God, chose us in him, Jesus, before the foundation of the world. Jesus was chosen to be the Lamb and to be the answer for you and I before the foundation of the world. When it was just God, the angels, and Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Yep. That's when he chose to give his life, should man ever go astray. We don't know when in history, the prehistory, that Lucifer sinned and fell. As soon as that happened, then, of course, God knows that man's going to come and the enemy's going to fight him. And therefore, Jesus said, I will be the sacrifice for the world. All right, let's keep reading. Having predestined us to the adoption as sons by Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Now, before the foundations of the world, Jesus was set up as the Lamb that was slain before the foundations of the world. And then it says that you and I were predestined because of that to adoption as sons of God. Now, you might say, well, you know I'm a child of God, but I better not say I'm a son of God. That's just for Jesus. Oh, no. No, it's in the Bible over and over that we are sons, that we are heirs, that we are joint heirs. This kind of a statement is there for us over and over by the Apostle Paul. And this is what I'm going to say, guys. You and I, this is one of the most important doctrines you got to get down. I am an heir of God. I am a joint heir with Jesus. And when we start getting this and we start letting ourselves become a son of God, a daughter of Zion, all of a sudden this thing starts changing because we realize as it says right here, verse 5, having predestined us as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, and it's according to the good pleasure of his will. This is what Jesus is doing the whole time he is in the grave. He has beaten the stuffings out of the enemy, defeating that enemy in its own environment and causing the victory to come to you and I. Now, hold your place there real quick, and let's run over here to, where was I going? Colossians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Colossians chapter 2, and let's go to verses 14 and 15. Colossians 2, 14 and 15. Now, as soon as Jesus said, it is finished, and the veil of the temple was rent from top to bottom, you and I had access to the holy place. Man never had access before that day.
Thank you, Jesus.
Moses, I mean, Aaron went in there once a year, and he had to have blood all over him, on his earlobes, on his big toe, his thumb, his, all over. He had to have blood all over him, because if he hadn't, he was too much of a sinful creature in the Old Testament. And God would have had to kill him in his presence. He would never be able to live in the righteousness that was inside that holy of holies.
Yeah.
Now watch this. 14, Colossians 2:14. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, and he's taken it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. So what Jesus did is, no matter what your sin was that you committed, it was worthy of death and a penalty. And in the courtroom before the judge, you would have been tried and found guilty. The papers would have been convincing, and you would have had to go to hell. But Jesus, now watch. Jesus wiped them all out of the way. He was wounded. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for my peace. We were not at peace with God, and the only way to get at peace was that we was going to have to receive a chastisement because we'd done wrong. The chastisement of our peace is on Jesus. That's Isaiah chapter 53, verses 3 through 6. Isaiah 53, 3 through 6. And he's taken it all out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Verse 15. Now look at this. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Jesus went to hell, to the region of the damned, and triumphed over hell in hell. Why? Because he was sinless. He was spotless. He carried the sin of the world, took it to hell, became the sin sacrifice for you and I. And in so doing, made the way for salvation. Now, let's look at this. I always like to read this to you out of the Message translation. Wait, I got to do that on my phone. The Message translation for Colossians chapter 2, verse number 15, is really cool. I like it. Nope, that's not the right translation. He stripped all the spiritual tyrants in the universe of their sham authority at the cross and marched them through the streets naked. What streets? Hell. He marched them through the streets of hell naked. He stripped them of their sham authority, marched them through the streets of hell naked and triumphing over them. Now, I'll throw that in there real quick. That way everybody can copy and paste that if you want. If while you're on the program with us, you want to copy or you want to copy what I just put in, hold the message down. You want to copy, hold it down. Whoops, don't hold it down until delete. All right, I'll do it again. Click reply. It'll give you like and reply. Click reply. Then when you see the white little box like this, now hold your finger on it, and it won't give you pin or ban. It'll give you reply and copy. Just click cloppy, and you'll now be able to copy and paste it into your notes. Some of you have not learned this process yet. You come here and you hear some good message that's biased here, and you're like, wow, I really want to remember this message, but I don't know how to save this effectively so that I can make sure I have it, you know, on another day. Well, let me tell you how to do it, because I know how to do it. Go down to the bottom, whether you're on Facebook or on Zoom, it doesn't matter. Down in the bottom of the screen will be this little share swoosh, that little arrow. Click on that arrow. It doesn't matter which one it is. If you click on that, it's going to give you the opportunity to write the post, copy the link, or send it to Messenger. What I recommend is that you cloppy it with your old cloppy horse. All right. I recommend you copy the link, open up your notepad, and then get you a note in there that is Community of Faith Messages. And then just get you a whole folder that's just Community of Faith Messages. And wait, somebody's like, Pastor, I don't even know what you're talking about. You don't know what I'm talking about? How do you not know what I'm talking about? See that little yellow legal pad down in the corner there by Facebook and the settings? You click on that. That's a notepad. Then you come to the next one. The next screen is going to give you all your folders. And you might even want to make a new one, which is down in the corner. Make a new folder. And then see, am I giving too much information?
No.
Anyways,
they were making fun of you.
They were making fun of me?
Just let me at your floppy stuff.
Stick to the biblical word, not tech support.
Yeah.
Anyways, I just take that. I do this all the time with Dr. Barkley, Dr. Winston, Brother Copeland, Brother Jesse. Anybody that I'm like, whoa, listen to that message right there. I will immediately stop that message. You can ask this, man. I stop that message right there. I click the copy button, and I go into my notepad, and I title it in my favorite messages, and I got different ways to title different people. But that way I can go back and then title it a title that makes sense to you.
Yes.
Don't just put the link in there. Type some notes about it. This was about the resurrection, and Jesus was in hell stomping the devil. And then, now the next time you come back, you'll be like, oh, yeah, and you'll be able to click on that link, because I'm never going to take these videos down, ever. No way. No. I've gone back and checked on some of these videos, got 12, 13, 1,400 views on them. That means somebody's finding them somewhere. And guess what? They're going to be a blessing to somebody's life.
Amen.
There ain't a one of them we've made that won't be a blessing to you. In Jesus' mighty name. Back to the word. Brother Dusty was recommending I stick with the word. Love you, brother. Sure good to have you with us tonight, man. All right. Now watch this. We're in Ephesians chapter 1, and we're down to verse number 5. Ephesians 1, 5. Jesus is in hell dealing with the devil. And he's doing it so that you don't have to. He's doing it so that all the power is given to him, and you and I get to use his name and deal with our enemy every single day, whenever he shows up. verse number 5, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. Guys, we weren't acceptable. We had sinned. The soul that sins, it must die. That's the Bible. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But don't stop. That's a colt. That's a semicolon. The next verse talks about the free gift of grace and of his righteousness that's available for you and I. There ain't a one of us that can beat sin in our own flesh. But as soon as you receive the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, you'll stop doing the sin because his righteousness will fill you. Paul said, amen, awake to righteousness and you won't sin. I love that verse. It's wonderful. Let's go. Verse 6 says, he made us accepted in the beloved. Verse 7 says, in him we have redemption through the blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Verse 9, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. I love this next part right here. Well, of course, I loved every one of these verses. But that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth in him. Verse 11, here it comes again. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. You and I are hearing the word predestined, the glory of his will, the goodness of his nature. And guys, it's all done before the foundation of the world, all the way at the beginning. And it's done, and all you and I got to do is just reach out and receive it. And our lives will be forever changed. According to the counsel of his will. Verse 12, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory, in whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance. Every inheritance has a guarantee. And this is the guarantee. The Holy Spirit is the guarantee of our inheritance till the redemption of the purpose possession to the praise of his glory. Now listen, there's about 18 pieces of steak in what I just gave you right there, but I got to read some more verses. And so I'm going to leave it as it is. I recommend that be one of your readings that you just read out loud. Those first 14 verses. Learn to read the Bible right out loud. Why? It scares the fire out of the devil, and it puts this word deep inside of your heart where you need it to be every single day.
Yeah.
Now, I want you to go with me now to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6. What was Jesus doing when he was in the grave? He's fighting the enemy and putting every one of these principalities and powers in their place. Now watch. Ephesians 6:10, and we're going down through 12. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. If you have Jesus inside of you, you got the whole armor of God on. Because he's got it all with him. Jesus ain't showing up without the armor.
Right.
Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the trickery, the wiles of the devil. Now look at verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities. That's what Jesus is dealing with right now in the grave. He's dealing with principalities. He's dealing with powers. He's dealing with the rulers of the darkness of this age. He's dealing with the spiritual host of wickedness that's in the heavenly places of the world. But see, when Jesus said those words, it is finished, those words, those worlds now shook and trembled, because the very thing that needed to happen was Jesus needed to die, and they killed him. And they said, of course, he said, nobody takes my life, I'm going to just give it. But as soon as Jesus died and said it's finished, and the veil, the temple was rent from the top to the bottom, that was it. The enemy knew. Hell shook. Hell shook and trembled. Why? Because they knew he was going to be there next. Now watch. 12, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. So our battle is never the human that you're looking at. Never. It doesn't matter how evil they are. They are run by a demon, by the devil. You can't bind a human. They get to do what they want. You can bind the devil, because Jesus gave us power over all the power.
Yeah,
and look at what it says. We do not wrestle with flesh and blood. We do wrestle against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Now watch this. Ephesians chapter 1. I'm thinking most of you are beginning to see Ephesians, one of my favorite books of the whole Bible. Once you get this book and you start getting this revelation on the inside of you, you ain't never going to be the same. That's good stuff. Watch this. Ephesians 1. Verse 18 through 23. Now, Jesus is in hell, and he is totally defeating every one of the principalities and powers. Well, how's he doing it? With his blood. Because the devil can't handle blood. Why do you think the vampire movies are all filled with blood? Because blood is the answer for the enemy. No sin can stand against the blood of Jesus. No demon can stand against the blood of Jesus. But you're going to have to get it out and use it. Verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, once you're born again, I know what is the hope of his calling. You have a calling in God. And we just saw in Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 5, 6, 7, that it was laid out before the foundation of the world. And it's God's specific design just for you, and it's his good pleasure that you have this power and might and dominion.
Hallelujah.
In your life. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saint? Here comes the inheritance word again. See, you got to get it, guys. You have an inheritance that's not just in heaven. It's not going to do you any good up there. You got a house and everything you need in heaven. You need that inheritance working for you on this earth right now,
amen.
Helping us preach the gospel so we can get more people into the kingdom of heaven.
Taking dominion of the earth.
Amen. Now, 19. What is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power? Say it with me. I'm a believer.
I'm a believer.
I'm filled with power.
I'm filled with power.
Verse 20. Which he, God, worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead, seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. What was Jesus doing in hell? He was getting far above all principalities. 21. Far above all power. Far above all might, far above all dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him, Jesus, to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Jesus was in hell, defeating every principality with one drop of blood, every power with one drop of blood, every might with one drop of blood, every dominion with one drop of blood. And he made a proclamation, I have the name that is above every name. Not of his own choosing. The Father gave him the name that is above
every name. Hallelujah.
Go with me to Hebrews chapter 12. I got so many verses to go to. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2.
Hi, Ken.
Ken Brumbaugh. Ken and Elaine Brumbaugh. Ken's not on lunch break today. He's at home. Bless you, Elaine. Good to see you,
Hallelujah.
Ma'am. Pour a bigger cup of coffee. Have another donut. We got some special Easter cookies right over here. And my wife just ate one in front of me and didn't even bring me one.
You always complain when you spit it on your computer, so I didn't want to promote that.
I love it. Here we go. Chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, we also, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. I got a word for you about that sin that ensnares you. Get the revelation of righteousness. And that sin will no longer ensnare you. Because once you get the revelation that you are filled with Jesus' righteousness, you won't ever in any way ever want to violate that beautiful righteousness that you were given by Jesus. Never another day. Never another day. And you might say, well, Pastor, I don't even know how to understand it. Well, send me a email, send me a text, send me a message and say, I need to understand righteousness. And then I got, this is what I got. I got 9 messages on it. They're on YouTube. You can watch them at your pace.
Yeah.
We've already taught it. They're great messages. We hit righteousness from about 9 different angles and lay the verses out. And every time you listen, faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of the Lord.
Amen.
Paul said, verse 12:1, let us run with endurance or patience the race that's set before us. Verse 2, Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author of our faith and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. He went through it. He despised the shame. If shame comes to you, despise it right in its face. Point your finger at the devil and say, you tried to bring me shame? Well, I get 7 times and double for your shame right out of the word of God. Joel chapter 2, verses 26 and 27. Isaiah chapter 60 and 61 and 53 and 55. Don't let up on the devil. He's got to pay you back double for what he causes you in shame. Look at this. This is Hebrews 12:2. Who for the joy, Jesus called the cross joy. Is it a wonder that many times during our communion, we just break out in laughter? Jesus called it joy. That was set before him. He endured the cross. He despised the shame and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Well, Pastor, how can he call it joy? because he saw you and me on the other end. God's John 3:16-17. God so loved this world that he gave his only begotten son. He did it. It was like, glory, hallelujah. I'm going to give my son. Jesus like, I'll sign up for the job. Let's get it done.
It always makes me think of, too, like when your kids are struggling with something and you can take that from them and know exactly what to do with it. And you can fix it for them and give it back and everything is good then.
Yeah. Yep. And that's what he did.
Yeah.
We can't beat sin. How are you going to beat sin? You're a sinful creature. There's no beating sin agent in a human's body. You can't do it. And many of us have tried for many years to beat sin in our own strength and say the name Jesus, but then beat it in our own strength. Well, that doesn't work. And it's not going to work. So what do you have to do? You have to win in the stripes of Jesus, in the blood of Jesus, and in his righteousness is how you win that battle. Now, let's look at another verse. Right. What time is it? Oh, my goodness. Who does that to the clock like that? You wait till I find out who you are, then I'll deal with it. Now, let's go to Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8. Actually, I think I'm going to go to 7.
All right.
You weren't quite done, were you?
Yeah.
I'm going to go 7 to not through 9. And, sorry. I didn't say that right. You wrote exactly what I said, but I didn't say it right.
Alrighty.
Let me try this again.
All right.
For those of you that's wondering, not only am I not skilled at the technology side of it, sometimes I'm not skilled in my communication. I'm going to read Hebrews 7, verse 11 through all of chapter 9.
All right.
Now did I make sense? Well, I made sense before, but probably not to everybody else. Because you wrote exactly what I said.
I did.
Yeah, you did. You're pretty good at that, but I still didn't get a cookie.
I'll go get you one.
Now, this is going to talk about Jesus being our high priest. Now watch. You want to read it right out loud with me if you can. Or you might say, well, no, I just want to hear you, Pastor. All right, we'll do it. Here we go, verse 11. Therefore, if perfection were through the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should arise according to the order of Melchizedek and not be called according to the order of Aaron? For the priesthood being changed of necessity, there is also a change of the law. That's what happened. As soon as the old covenant was done, when Jesus said it's finished, that's the end. That covenant ended, and now the new covenant began, which is the covenant of his blood. Let's keep reading. Verse 12, for the priesthood being changed of necessity, there's also a change of law. 13, for he of whom these things are spoken belongs to another tribe, from which no man has officiated at the altar. Jesus is the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and the Levites were not of the tribe of Judah. They were of the tribe of Levi. They were Levites, Levi and Levites, right? verse 14, for it is evident that our Lord arose from Judah, of which tribe Moses spoke nothing concerning the priesthood. And it is yet far more evident if in the likeness of Melchizedek there arises another priest. Melchizedek was before Abraham, or was a contemporary with Abraham. Let's keep reading. For it is 15, I mean, Hebrews 7, 15. And it is yet far more evident if in the likeness of Melchizedek another priest arises, who has not come according to the law of a fleshly commandment, but according to the power of an endless life. I love that statement. Jesus didn't come according to the power of a fleshly commandment. He came bringing us endless life, eternal life, that the world through him might be saved.
Amen.
And live eternally.
Amen.
A small bite of cookie. You know what needs to happen now?
I need a washcloth for your computer screen.
Coffee. Watch this. I'm in verse 16. Who has come, not according to the law of a fleshly commandment, but according to the power of an endless life. For he testifies, you're a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. Coffee, please. Thank you, Dave. For on the one hand, there's an annulling of the former commandment because of its weakness and unprofitableness. For the law made nothing perfect. On the other hand, there is the bringing in of a better hope through which we draw near to God. The old covenant only covered them. It did not wash them. The old covenant was just there to keep them from being killed by God. If you really want to know what it's really all about, that's really all it was. And Jesus came bringing a new covenant, a better covenant, based in better promises, sworn in blood, but not the blood of bulls and goats or the ashes of a heifer. It was sworn in his own precious blood. We're going to see that in just a minute. Hebrews 7:19. For the law made nothing perfect. On the other hand, there is the bringing in of a better hope, confident expectation. That's that teaching Brother Dan was giving us that night. Through which we can draw near to God. Inasmuch, at verse 20, as he was not made priest without an oath, for they have become priests without an oath, but he with an oath, by him who said to him, the Lord has sworn and will not relent, you are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. So God swore about Jesus. God's the one that said, you're the priest forever. And it changed from Levi to Judah. Levi was the priestly tribe. Judah was the praise. Judah was a fearless warrior. And then the nation split, and it was the nation of Israel and the nation of Judah. Let's keep reading. 22. By so much more, Jesus became a surety of a better covenant. Say this with me. My covenant is perfect.
My covenant is perfect.
It's in the blood of Jesus. There's nothing nobody can do, guys. Our only challenge that any of us face is that we'll give ourselves to the study of God's word and the teaching of God's word until it actually makes sense in our life and we can begin to use it and produce with it just like we do on our daily jobs and business. How many ever had a job that you did that you really mastered that job? I went and Brother Dave helped me change my coil pack on my Chrysler 200 before we came down here. I came to the understanding real quick. Brother Dave is a master at what he does. He knows what he's doing. Brother Dusty is another one of those masters. Brother Ken Brumbaugh, James Denny, Gary West, Dave Gabby, all those men are truck drivers, and they're all good ones, and they're all masters. Brother Gary trained me. Gary West trained me in the chip truck. God bless you, Gary. Thank you for your training. You're a good man. And here's the thing. You become a master at that. And not out of pride, not out of arrogance, but because you've given yourself to it. Well, the same mastery that you have of that process, God wants you to have that same mastery of this book and the understanding of the Word of God. That's why many people never go very far in God, is because they've never met anybody that could take them into that next level and truly get an understanding of how to make this book work in their daily life.
Oh, did you want me to make you a cup of coffee, Dave?
I got the most valuable, wonderful wife in the world. And I'm sure some of you men think the same thing. Here we go. Jesus became the surety of a better covenant.
Thank you, Lord.
When he said it's finished, the new covenant started. The old was done away with. The mercy seat was still in heaven. He still had to get there and put the blood on the mercy seat. But the new covenant started. And the blood of Jesus, which he shed every drop of, destroyed the power of hell, was the supreme sacrifice in heaven, and is now the force by which you and I get to live. It's the most powerful cleansing force on the face of the earth, because one little drop of blood is more than enough to help you be free from sin. I was given a skill by God to fix things, still working on mastering your craft and knowledge. Yeah. He talked about this as a place of meeting. Come on, man. Look at these two guys going at me, man. I love this. Welcome. Good to have you. And you know what? That's a powerful statement that Dusty just made. Dusty's helped me change several furnaces. All right? That's where I met him. And he's been a good, we've been good friends ever since then, but pretty much immediately. He's a master at that. But now we got to master this book here. And what many of us were handed was religion, churchianity. We weren't told that the number one, wow, what just happened? We weren't told that the number one thing we needed to learn in our life, we had to have the greatest thing you could ever come to is ability to hear God's voice.
Yeah.
I mean, amen. We handed people church. We handed people religiosity. We gave them a bunch of rules of do's and don'ts. We told you not to cuss or swear or smoke or chew. Or run with those that do. But guess what? None of that was the value that you need, because as soon as you build a relationship with the Father where you can hear his voice and know it on the inside, you will never again sin any of those sins that you once sinned. Why? Because you won't ever, because sin separates you from the presence of God, and you will never again the rest of your life ever allow that sin to get close. Because you're like, whoa, I want the presence of God. I want my Father. I don't know how many of you, not everybody has a good father, but I had a good father. I enjoyed being with my dad. And I had a chance to be able to work with my dad every day as an adult man. And that was some of the most awesome time of my life, being able to work alongside my dad. I learned I have a work ethic that I got from him, and he has a powerful work ethic. He was a hard-working man. All of our days growing up as kids, he pastored a little church and worked 45, 50 hours a week in the oil field. He was a good man, and he had that strong work ethic. Well, he mastered that craft in the oil field. He knew his stuff out there. He knew how to run the service rig and everything. My dad was a good man, but he was also a good pastor. And so what you and I are learning right here is how to get these words off this page into our life in the simplest form that God sent them to us, and get ourselves moving into the things of God.
Rebecca thought you were driving a chimp truck. yeah, pastor, pastor chauffeurs, monkeys. God blew the word peace across my ears one night in church when I couldn't concentrate and my mind was going 100 miles an hour.
Wow.
Wow, I love that.
What a testimony, Dave.
Yeah.
But see, everybody's got one like that. Now, we got to get this word off this page and get the big picture of this. Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. But it won't be until you finally realize, wait, I didn't get church. I didn't get religion. I didn't get churchianity, Christianity, a denomination. I got to have a perfect relationship with my Father. You know what that's going to do, guys? That changes everything. Because now when you wake up in the morning, you're not trying to be a quote-unquote Christian. You wake up in the morning, you say, good morning, Father, how are we doing? What's happening today? How's going on in the world? What do I need to do for you? It's a completely different point of view. Completely different point of view. And what you find is all of a sudden you just relax and you're like, all I got to do is just walk with God every day. Help me get the basics down so that I can be a master of the basics. Everybody who's a master in their trade is somebody who has mastered the basics.
Yeah.
Everybody in the Super Bowl or in one of your big sports things, it's because they're the greatest master of the basics. You know, like, what is it? There's 10 things you got to do in a golf swing to be able to master golf.
Mm-hmm.
I mastered it. Just throw a chainsaw in the back of the golf cart and go out in the woods and find them all. That's it. That's a lot of fun out there. Chase the raccoon off, the squirrel, the snake, the deer, whatever. No matter. But at least you're out there in the woods, and I like being in the woods. Anyways, I want to keep reading because we got to get to chapter 8 here. Kind of got me on verse 22, but we'll be all right. By so much more, Jesus became a surety of a better covenant. Also, there were many priests because they were prevented by death from continuing. But he, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. He never died. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through Jesus, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Say it with me, Jesus is interceding for me.
Is interceding
now,
for me.
Let's just look real quick. Hold your finger right there and go with me to Romans chapter 8. Don't give your Hebrews verse up. I just want to read this verse to you. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weakness, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Jesus is interceding, and the Holy Spirit is interceding. And you and I have the Father working on the inside of us too. Back in Hebrews chapter 7. I love those interceding words. Why? Because you can't fail. This word does not fail. It comes. It gets into your life. If you don't walk away, this word does not fail. You got to just stay. Verse 24, he continues, forever as an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, he's able also to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. 26, for such a high priest was fitting for us. He's holy, harmless. The Holy Spirit is writing Hebrews, and he said Jesus is harmless, and he braided a whip and drove him out of the temple. He's harmless. Undefiled, separate from sinners, has become higher than the heavens. His name was high above everything. When you have the name that's high above them all, what is left in power? Nothing. The enemy has no power. Jesus has all the power, all the authority, all the might, all the dominion, all the strength. Let's keep reading. I got to just quit preaching and read. 27, who does not need daily, as those high priests did, to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins, and then for the people's, for this he did once for all when he offered up himself. See, Aaron and all those priests, they had to do sacrifices every day,
yeah,
or they would not have lived. And yet here's Jesus. For once and for all, he shed his blood. On the cross, it's done. The next 3 days is Jesus beating the living stuffings out of the devil, crushing him under his feet, and coming back with the keys to death, hell, and the grave.
Yeah. Thank you, Jesus.
28. For the law appoints as high priest men who have weaknesses. But the word of an oath, which came after the law, appoints the Son who has been perfected forever. Now, I'm going to read chapter 8 without stopping.
All righty then.
Let me say it differently. I'm speaking in faith that I'm going to read chapter 8 without stopping. Everybody listen. Now, this is the main point of the things we are saying. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord erected and not man. For every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices. Therefore, it is necessary that this one also have something to offer. For if he were on earth, he would not be a priest, since there are priests who offer the gifts according to the law, who serve the copy and shadow of the heavenly things, as Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make the tabernacle. That's what an earthly priest did. All right? For he said, see that you make all things according to the pattern shown you on the mountain. Verse 6. But now he, capital He, circle it, now he, Jesus, has obtained a more excellent ministry than theirs. Some of you might say, Pastor, this is getting to be a little laborious. I'm not getting the understanding. Just stick with me. Don't worry about every word. Go for the whole thought that Jesus is the sinless lamb and the perfect high priest because he paid the sacrifice with his own blood because he was sinless. Now watch. Verse 6. I'm in 8:6. Now he's obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. I cannot believe that verse isn't underlined.
That's a new Bible thing.
Verse 7. For if the first covenant had been false, that no place would have been sought for a second coming. Finding fault with them, he says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they did not continue in my covenant, and I disregarded them, says the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after these days, says the Lord. I love this verse. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their heart. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. None of them shall teach his neighbor, his brother, saying, know the Lord. For all shall know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least of them, even to the greatest of them. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds. I will remember no more. In that, he says, a new covenant. He has made the first obsolete. Now what is growing obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. Jesus did away with the old covenant when he said, it's finished. That old covenant was done. They never needed to sacrifice another lamb. Why? He was the sacrificial lamb that was going to be sacrificed on that day. I didn't do too bad. Chapter 9. Then indeed, the first covenant had ordinances of divine service and earthly sanctuary. For a tabernacle was prepared, the first part, in which was the lampstand, the table, the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And behind the second veil, the part of the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, the holy of holies, which had the golden censer, the ark of the covenant, overlaid on all sides with gold, in which were the golden pot that had the manna, Aaron's rod that budded, and the tablets of the covenant. And above it were the cherubim of glory, overshadowing the mercy seat. Of those things we cannot now speak in detail. So Paul just said, I believe it's Paul, the writer of Hebrews, says that this is what they did, what Moses guys did. But what was on earth is a direct copy of what's in heaven. There's a mercy seat in heaven. There's the holiest of holies is in heaven. And that's where the Father is. And as soon as you're born again, you don't have to go through a priest. You go straight to the Father. That's why it says it in our communion elements. They will be taken. By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly to the throne room of grace. Can't teach that message though. Let's keep reading. Verse 6. Now when these things had been thus prepared, the priest also went into the first part of the tabernacle, performing the service. Into the second part, the high priest went alone once a year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the people's sins committed in ignorance. Verse 8. That the Holy Spirit, indicating this, that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while the first tabernacle was still standing. It was symbolic for the present time in which both gifts and sacrifices are offered, which cannot make him who performed the service perfect in regard to his conscience. It was concerned only with foods and drinks, various washings, fleshly ordinances imposed until the time of Reformation. Well, what was the time of Reformation? Take that word Reformation apart. What is it? Reformation. So now that the old covenant is reformed, we have the new covenant, and we no longer have to sacrifice only once a year.
Thank you, Jesus.
We're in about another 15 minutes, we're going to receive communion, and we get to take the whole Passover feast and partake of it in the matter of about 7, 8, 10 minutes. I mean, some people do it in 2 minutes, but I don't think that's very effective. I like ours. It's 15 minutes, but we get it done, and we get you saying some, we get you speaking the word of God into your life, and that's what builds that great strength on the inside of you. Here we go. Theirs was symbolic, and it was just washings and foods and drinks and ordinances. Here comes the power. We spent the whole night because Jesus was laid out before the foundation of the world that you and I would be able to receive our life through Jesus. Now watch this. Christ, verse 11, Christ came as the high priest of the good things to come with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, not with the blood of bulls and goats, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once and for all. Jesus took his blood to heaven, to the most holy place, put it on the mercy seat, and once for all obtained eternal redemption for us all. Somebody ought to shout glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory and honor and praise to your name.
Amen.
Sing it with me. Glory and honor and praise to your name. Glory and honor and praise to your name. Glory and honor and praise to your name. Praise to your name. Verse 12 again. Not with the blood of bulls and goats, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once and for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without a spot to God, cleanse your conscience, purge your conscience from dead works, to serve the living God. He just said that it was going to happen, and he did it. And you know what? It says, how much more? The blood of bulls and goats are just animals. And I mean, they sacrificed thousands of them. Solomon, when they did the temple, Solomon sacrificed a serious amount of animals, and they feasted for 21 days or 32 days, whatever it was. Verse 14 says, how much more shall the blood of Christ purge your conscience from dead works so that you may serve the living God? And it's all you got to do is receive it. Say it with me. I receive the blood of the Lamb. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Roger. I'm just seeing comments now all of a sudden. Rebecca, thanks for putting them in there. Amen, putting the verses in. Glory be to God. All right. See, when you realize that the blood of Jesus purges your conscience, that means what was there is now removed. And it is completely removed. And there's no trace of it left. It's gone. It's not only an ink spot on your shirt that's been washed in the washing machine, but it is also completely removed. And there's no stain of sin in your life. When Jesus says to you, your sins are forgiven, guess what? Your sins are forgiven. and they will never be remembered against you another day. I'm in Hebrews 9:15. For this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. But where there is a testament, there must also be of necessity the death of the testator. For a testament is in force after men are dead, since it has no power at all while the testator lives. Therefore, not even the first covenant was dedicated without blood. But when Moses spoke every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and goats with water, scarlet wool, hyssop, sprinkled both the book itself and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the covenant which God has commanded you." Then likewise, he sprinkled the blood, both the tabernacle and all the vessels of ministry. Verse 22, don't miss 22. And according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And you ready? With the shedding of Jesus' blood, there is remission of sin.
Hallelujah.
See, what I just read to you out of Hebrews 7, 8, and 9 is what Jesus was doing when he's in that grave. Soon as he died, he's carrying the sins of the world. He took them straight to hell. All right? Well, let's look at one more verse. What much time I got? Ooh, I only got 6 minutes. 2 Corinthians 5, 21. 2 Corinthians 5, 21. He made him, God made him Jesus, who knew no sin, to become sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. I think many people yet do not understand that you are not just born again. You are made the righteousness of God in Jesus. Amen. When you say, "I receive all of your righteousness," God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, makes you the righteousness of God. You might say, "Whoa, Pastor, I don't even know how to do that." Not only do you not know how, you will never know how, because it isn't up to you to make it happen. It's up to you to receive it. None. Now, the ASV says, "He who knew no sin, he made to be sin on our behalf." But Jesus couldn't be sin, or he would not get out of hell. So he had to be righteous.
Yeah.
Right? So that means he bore the sin. All right? This is the better English. "For him who had no knowledge of sin, God made to be sin for us." Well, he made him to be the sin sacrifice, so that we might become the righteousness of God. Christ never sinned. C-E-V. Christ never sinned. But God treated him as a sinner, so that Christ would make us acceptable to him. All right? So anyways, that's what that verse is saying, is that Jesus knew no sin, and God didn't make him a sinner. God made him righteous, so that when he hit hell, he split hell wide open. And I don't know if you remember, I'm not going to go to it because I only said 5 more minutes and I'm down to 3 left. But just rose again. There was many of the saints who had formerly died, who were seen walking around in the city, because resurrection power went all through hell, all through Abraham's bosom, and resurrection power happened, and these them people came back to life, man.
Yeah.
Now watch this. God made Jesus the sin sacrifice, but he went to hell covered in his blood. And if you've never seen the meme on Facebook, see if you can search it up and find it. It's a good one to share. It's a picture of a little lamb standing with blood on it in hell, because that's what he was. And a little lamb. A little lamb in hell overpowered.
Yeah.
You know why the Bible says he's as a roaring lion? That the enemy is as a roaring lion? Because Jesus is the lion of the tribe of Judah, and the devil's had to hear us roar Jesus' name all through history. And so he's trying to roar too, but he don't have a roar. He's got a meow. He's not a lion. He's an angel. He don't have anything but deception. We're the lion. So he's trying to roar, but he's like, he don't have nothing. If you will roar with the lion of the tribe of Judah coming out of you and be bold as a lion, which means open your mouth and say something, the enemy can't overpower you. 2 Corinthians 5:21, all the tormentos. Amen. Jesus made you his righteousness. I have people all the time say, you know, Pastor, I just can't be righteous like that. I'm so excited. Brother Kim Wetland finally said to me one day, you'll never be righteous. I'm like, hey, watch what you're saying there, dude. But he's like, well, you won't be. Haven't you ever found out it's tough to be righteous in your own power? I'm like, yeah, like really tough. He said, it's because you cannot be that righteous. There's no righteousness in our flesh. We only have sin. But as soon as we receive Jesus' righteousness, now you get it all.
Yeah.
And literally, you get to live days like days of heaven on earth. And you literally get to live at a point where you will not sin. It's so exciting to say and be able to look at people and say, wait a minute. I know from experience, when you get to this righteousness point, you do not have to sin. And you won't. You won't even want to. You won't even want to be anywhere near sin.
Amen.
Because of the glory and the joy of righteousness. All right. I got a Missouri person, so I'm going to have to show you. I was done. I was ready to say, amen, let's keep moving. And somebody said, prove it. All right. Here we go. I like it when they say prove it. Don't you like it? They say that. It is 1 Corinthians 15:34. First Corinthians 15:34. Awake to righteousness, and you will not sin.
There you go.
Some do not have the knowledge of God, this knowledge. And I speak this to your shame or to your detriment. Not like shame, because there's no shame in God. You get double for the shame that's come in your life. But Paul said, when you awake to righteousness, you will no longer sin. And what we've read you tonight is the process of what was going on behind the scenes in these 3 days. Jesus is dealing with our enemy and destroying the power of the devil.
Yeah.
So he can come back with the keys of the kingdom and hand them to you and me. And they're in our hands right now. And there's no reason to be defeated by our enemy another day of our life.
Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. For the precious blood of the Lamb. Thank you for your righteousness, Jesus. There's nothing we can do to earn it. All we can do is reach out and receive it. Lord, you are so good.
Amen.
You are so good to provide such a wonderful sacrifice for us. And we receive it from you. May the eyes of our understanding be flooded with enlightenment so that we may know who we are in you and that we may walk in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake every day of our life.
Mm-hmm.
We pray this in Jesus' mighty name. May people tonight receive communion with us for the first time and their lives forever be free and transformed into the image of Christ. We thank you for it. In Jesus' mighty name. Somebody shout a big amen.
Amen.
Here we go. Let's go to Luke 22. I guess I'm going to do that throughout this week. Luke 22. 22, 14 through 23. Luke 22, 14 through 23. That's the communion service that Jesus did. This is after they finished the supper, the Passover lamb. So I think it's so amazing. Jesus has just completed the very last Passover meal that will ever be necessary. He did it himself. And he went from that right into the new covenant worship. The Passover lamb was the old covenant. And in the same meeting, the same meal, he institutes the new covenant worship. Verse 14. Make sure you got your elements. When the hour had come, he sat down and the 12 apostles were with him. And he said to them, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Everybody pause a second here. Come on now. Before I suffer, verse 16, for I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And you and I, during the 7 years of tribulation, when we're in heaven after the rapture, we're going to be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Can you imagine what that supper is going to be like?
Oh, my goodness.
Jesus has been preparing that for 22,000 years, man. Verse 17, then he took the cup. He gave thanks and he said, take this, divide it amongst yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. He took the bread and gave thanks and broke it, gave it to them saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Verse 20. Likewise, he also took the cup after supper saying, this cup in my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of my betrayer is with me on the table. And truly the Son of Man goes as it has been determined. But woe to the man by whom he is betrayed. Then they began to question among themselves which of them it was who would do this thing. Now, here's the cool thing about this. Jesus. Even though Judas sat right there at the table with him, Jesus was not wasn't concerned with it, and he was going to give Judas the sop, and Judas was going to go up, and that was going to be the end. And he knew he was going to be betrayed, but it didn't stop him in any sense of the word. Jesus instituted right here the new covenant with a piece of bread and a cup of juice. And this is so amazing. He changed all of the bloodshed of the goat. And he put it into the new covenant. Man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And I'm the vine, and you're the branches, and I want you to bear some fruit. And Jesus is showing you and me every day the new covenant worship. And it's
Amen.
Right there. And it's right in front of us. Now, I want to go to verse 26 now. 1 Corinthians 11, 26. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's redemptive work until he comes. Verse 28. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Verse 31. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. Now, we started out with Jesus. He did his work. And then we go to Paul, because Paul was the one that God, Jesus, you can see these are red letters in Romans or 1 Corinthians 11. Jesus showed up in the wilderness to Paul and showed him this. And that's what you and I partake of. Now, we just read that let a man examine himself. You got to examine yourself every day. And you got to look at yourself. And ain't one of us got to examine you. And then one of you got to examine us. Every man's got to examine himself, because when you stand before Jesus, it's just going to be you and him, nobody else there. And you're going to have to give an account of what you did with Jesus when you get to heaven with Jesus. 1 John 4 says, perfect love is perfected. Love is perfected amongst us in this, that we might have boldness anytime we're judged. Why? Because as Jesus is sitting on the throne in heaven right now, he's the head and we're the body. So as he is, so are we in this world. And perfect love casts out all the fear that could ever come upon you. We're going to pray the prayer of salvation. If you've never prayed this prayer and been reconciled to the Father, I think I'm actually changing my statement. And you be reconciled with the Father by the blood of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit. Woo! Here we go. Pray this prayer with me. I don't know if you can tell. I was getting ready to go to preaching right there on the spot. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life every day.
And according to John 3:16.
And according to John 3:16.
When I believe in you.
When I believe in you.
You give me everlasting
you
life.
You give me everlasting life.
And I will not perish.
And I will not perish.
And I thank you for it.
And I thank you for it.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
Jesus, I believe you are the
Son of God. And you rose again on the third day for me.
And you rose again on the third day for me.
Put your hands out and just do it. Say, I receive you into my life right now, Jesus.
I receive you into my life right now, Jesus.
All of your love.
All of your love.
All of your mercy.
All of your mercy.
All of your grace.
All of your grace.
All of your righteousness.
All of your righteousness.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
So I live in power.
Understand the word of God.
Understand the word of God.
Pray in my heavenly language.
Pray in my heavenly
and
language.
And live a successful life.
And live a successful life.
As a believer every day.
As a believer every day.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen. And amen. Now, I can tell, like it's going on inside of me, some of you are having an experience. You're like, wow, this is really powerful. Well, what just happened is God Almighty just came into your being, and you were born again. Adam, when he sinned, his spirit man died. His body was still alive. He lived to be 960 years old. But his spirit man died, that connection with God. In John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24, Jesus said, "The hour is coming and now is when the Father is seeking those who will have a personal relationship with him. And you were just reconciled to him. And now you have that relationship." How amazing
Lord.
Is it?
Yeah.
Jesus is the light of the world. Light just filled your being. That's what you're experiencing. Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. Fear left and faith just come on the inside of you. Jesus is brought all of his righteousness. And that means sin just left your life. That's why you feel pure and you feel clean and you feel holy. And all you had to do is just say, "I receive." All of his mercy, all of his love, all of his grace just filled you. The Father looked at Jesus and said, "Adopt him into the family. You're an heir of God, a joint heir with Jesus." And you know what? Everything that Jesus has is now yours. You have an inheritance that fades not away. It's incorruptible. No man can touch it. Why? It's in heaven, reserved for you to use on earth. Glory be to God.
Glory be to God.
Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Welcome to the family. From this day forward, what's your responsibility? But to walk with God every day. And if you'll walk with me, we'll walk with God together all the way in to eternity, the rapture, the rest of the church. We're taking a whole flock of you with us.
Amen.
I'm asking God to help us reach 1,000, 10,000, 100,000, 1,000,000. May we reach 1,000,000,000 before Jesus comes back. Mm-hmm. Why? Because we figure out how to use all this technology to reach people and be a blessing to you in Jesus' mighty name. You ready? Get your communion elements. Hold it up. Here we go. Pray this prayer with me. Wait, Pastor, I'm not ready yet. Well, grab your phone and run to the kitchen. I don't have a phone. I have a desk. You're in trouble. Hurry. Here we go. Let's bless our elements. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I bless and sanctify these elements.
I bless and sanctify these
for
elements.
This time of communion with you.
For this time of communion with you.
Jesus, you were wounded.
Jesus, you were wounded.
For my transgression.
For my transgression.
You were bruised.
You were bruised.
For my iniquity.
For my iniquity.
The chastisement for my peace.
The chastisement for my peace.
Is upon you, Lord.
Is upon you, Lord.
And by your stripes.
By your stripes.
I am healed.
I am healed.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my
in
body.
In my mind, my will, and my emotion.
In my mind, my will, and my
nothing
emotion.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Every joint supply.
Every joint supply.
In my body.
In my body.
Producing life.
Producing life.
From Jesus' broken body.
From Jesus' broken body.
Producing life.
Producing life.
In the body of Christ in my community.
In the body of Christ in my
and
community.
Right here in this community.
And right
faith.
Here in this community.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Let's receive his. Thank you, Lord. Express it to him. Just tell him thank you. You say it right out loud.
Thank you,
thank you,
Lord.
Thank you. But you restored me to a relationship with the Father. Wow. And now we lift up the cup of blessing, the blood of Jesus. Pray this with me. By the blood cleansing force.
The most powerful cleansing force.
On the face of this earth.
On the face of this earth.
I have been redeemed.
I have been redeemed.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have reconciliation.
I have reconciliation.
With you, my Father.
With you, my Father.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
Every sin.
Every sin.
Has been placed in remission.
Has been placed in remission.
In my life.
In my life.
I am a new creation.
I am a new creation.
All things have passed away.
All things have passed
and
away.
All things have become new.
And all things have become new.
And I thank you for it.
And I thank you for it.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
And the word of my testimony.
And the word of my testimony.
I overcome.
I overcome.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I come boldly.
I come boldly.
Into the throne room of grace.
Into the throne room of grace.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help.
For my assignment every day.
For my assignment every day.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
Just like in the days of Egypt.
Just like in the days of Egypt.
Because the blood has been applied.
Because the blood has been applied.
Every plague must pass over.
Every plague must pass over.
And cannot be on me or my family.
And cannot.
My conscience is purged.
My conscience is purged.
My robes are made white.
My robes are made white.
And I will always be.
And I will always
the glorious church.
The glorious church.
Without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
Without spot, wrinkle, or any
when
other blemish.
When you come for me.
When you come for me.
In Jesus' mighty
in
name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
And let's receive his blood shed together.
Thank you, Lord.
Let's sing that song. Thank you, Lord, for saying. Help me, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so full and free.
Ooh.
All right. I think it's Sister Mary Pasterick that knows the second verse to that song.
Sing it, Mary.
Well, thanks for being here tonight. Tomorrow night, we're going to do the same thing. Tomorrow night, we're going to be studying what Jesus did while he was in the grave. Go ahead. Somebody
just wanted to let you know I'm here, but my husband took over my phone. So
all right,
yay!
Then. Hi, Don. Love
hi,
you, man.
Don.
Say hi.
Hello.
Glad to have you.
Hey,
with
it's
us.
Good to have you on here, Don. Love you, man.
Yeah. Oh. Good.
So glad.
So did you come on because you want to sing with us?
You didn't see much of it. You didn't see much of it. It was on your belly and you were listening to it. I'm
excited.
I know
no.
You're too
bad. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I can get back to my screen now, but God bless you. And I really like that last song you were singing.
I know.
Sing it with us?
Pardon me?
You're going to sing it with us?
Oh, not tonight. I'm exhausted.
Okay. All right.
All right.
Love you, Mary.
You know,
love you,
Mary. The circle of life is it's a little bit different when it's going from when an 87-year-old is acting like a 2-year-old. It's hard.
Hallelujah. And we
have a nice evening. I'll listen to you later tonight because he took the phone away from me. So.
All right. That's cool.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
All right. Love
bye.
You, Mary. Father, we bless Don and Mary Pasterick. Thank you for them being a part of our gathering of believers.
Bye.
Good night, Don.
Night, Don.
Thank you, Lord, for life and health and strength to them, Lord. Yeah. Thank you that we actually heard that with our own ears, Don, say, I believe.
Amen.
And we know that you have received that statement, and you are receiving, Don, and we give you glory for
thank
that
you, Lord.
In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. In Jesus' mighty name.
We all got to work together.
Amen.
Yes, we do. Amen.
Amen.
One body.
And I share the phone with
That's pretty good that you actually shared, Mary. I'm proud of you.
Well, I know I can listen to it later tonight, so I just let them know. Have a great night, everybody.
Love you, Mary.
Love you, Mary.
Love you,
bye, Mary. Bye.
Good night.
Sunday's on there. All right. Well, now listen, I'll stay on here and talk all night, but I can't do that because we still got another program to do. But we're gonna shut down the YouTube and Facebook and Blog Talk Radio. We're gonna talk to the Zoomers a little bit. If you're not one of the Zoomers and you'd like to be, we welcome you. The only prerequisite is that you're one of us and that you want to be there and be a part of what we're doing. I don't just connect everybody over there, because it's a safe place for us, and there's not everybody that shows up here is a blue ribbon sheet.
Eat all your chips. Well, take your bags out in the basket.
Love you, Dave. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, Dave. Thanks, Dusty.
Yes.
Bless you guys. All of Phyllis Raymond's family,
right.
Captain Price, bless you, sir. God bless you. John Raymond, we're praying for you, sir. You got all of us in your corner, and
love you, Rebecca.
Amen. Glory be God. Hallelujah. Brother Ken Brumbaugh, bless you.
Yes, Ken and Elaine.
Wait a minute. It's always good to go back here and check it out, because you never know who you might see. Uh-oh, Dave's calling me Cloppy. Dusty and Dave and Phyllis, Captain Bryce Evans, bless you, sir. Thank you for your service. All of the family of Sister Phyllis's, we love you. Julie Rouse and Kai were here. Hi, guys. Good to have you with us tonight.
Yeah.
All of you who joined with us that I can't see because whatever. I used to be able to see everybody. But
oh, Roger, too. Love you, Roger.
Yeah, Roger Oxy. Bless you, Roger. Glad you were able to get connected tonight.
Yeah.
Anyways, tomorrow we'll see you at noon. And then we'll see you tomorrow night again, and we'll be studying another aspect of what Jesus did while he was in the grave to make this triumphant resurrection happen. I mean, he's not just laying there on a slab going whistling, you know. No, he's got some serious work to get accomplished, and he got it all done too, so that he could be lifted up to sit at the right hand of the Father and be a blessing to all of the people.
Amen.
Did you ever figure out what happened earlier today?